Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for checking out another episode of the show. Today's features my buddy and returning guest, Dan Johanning. Dan's been on the show several times talking about some of the different rock bands he's been in. And this one is completely different because Dan stops by to talk about his brand new solo project that he put together, a new EP. And it was a lot of fun to deep dive into this EP with him. So hope you dig it. If you want to help support this show and keep it going, put a little gas in the tank, a great way to do so would be head on over to buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast and pick up a new shirt. You got your little Shaney t-shirts, your logo shirts, and by popular demand, we have tank tops and hats available now. So head on over there and get yourself some new gear for the summer and looking fresh. And you can go around telling everybody about your favorite podcast in town. A big thank you to my friends at Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler for all their continued support. Head on over there to visit them in the Maplewood area off of Manchester and pick up all your favorite all-natural beard oils, beard balms, their junk powder, or one of my personal favorites, their Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly into unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available in beard care market, hands down. World-renowned, but made right here in St. Louis. Visit them locally or shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com and use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase. And even if you don't have a beard, American Rambler's got you taken care of. They're all their wonderful, all-natural grooming products. They smell wonderful. They do the great job. So visit roughneckbeardcompany.com today and get yourself cleaned up. Big thank you to Heil Sound for their help making this show sound great. Visit heilsound.com today and get yourself a brand new microphone. Recording this intro on my PR40, and I love it. It's a great microphone. I think you will also enjoy it. And so pick one up today and take your recording to the next level. All right, if that is it, if you need me, you can find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on the email at rockpaperpodcast@gmail. Let me know what you think of Dan's new EP. And hit me on the socials. With that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy this brand new episode with my buddy, Dan Johanning.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hey, this is Dan Johanning, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Scissors, beat, paper, paper covers rock. Rock beats, scissors, Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip-hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock, paper, podcast.
Double-decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock, paper, podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock, paper, podcast.
Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out at the beautiful encapsulated studios here in St. Louis with my man, Dan Johanning. Welcome back to the show, dude.
Thank you for having me back.
Yeah,
it's a pleasure.
Yeah, dude. It's been forever, I think. I think that's the technical.
Yes. It's been infinity forever.
Yeah.
That's how long it's been.
Seems like it for sure with a... But I'm so glad to be here with you today, catching up, talking about some brand new tunage, and I'm just so glad to do this show still and get to hang out with my buds and just to give it a good excuse to catch up and hang out and
for sure
drink a couple of cold beverages and see your smiling face.
So, yeah.
But so big thanks to Encapsulated for letting us hang here for the evening. And it's always a good time over here. Got to do a few in this space. And so
we sure have.
Yep.
It's my home away from home.
Yeah. Was this where the everything was recorded for the new record?
Yeah. So I started putting together things started building it on my phone through like some different apps. And I think like Marcus from Pfister had texted me over the summer and was like, hey, you can download the Moog app for free, whatever, if you want to play with some synth stuff. So I did, and was just noodling around with it. And then whenever I decided, like, and I had been making beats on some other program, whatever, you know, when I had 2.5 months off work, it was just like, I guess I'll learn some more jazz on guitar. And, you know, you just start finding little projects to do, or I was musically, and like playing with beat making apps and the K-Oscillator and like the Moog stuff and making little demos in GarageBand. And then it all started kind of happening. Was like, oh man, I really need to like make a record like this. And so that's where it started. And then all the auxiliary stuff, like the guitar I recorded here, there's some percussion in it, all the vocals recorded here. Pookie played bass on it, obviously. He's a genius, and he lends a lot to it. He really, really helped make it sound great. So, you know, he came in here. And Jenny Calva, Gabe Usri is the engineer for obviously everything that I do, and he's the drummer in Wilderness and Disappeared, and the extraordinary man behind the boards at Encapsulated.
Man of many talents.
Man of many talents. And his wife Jenny is the brilliant singer that is the female voice on the record.
All right.
My wife is featured on it, and my friend AJ is the woman speaking Arabic in the death track.
Right on. Yeah, man. Got all kinds of special players, different roles and featured in here. So
yeah.
It's cool that getting to highlight some of your friends and stuff. And so really all this stemmed out of quarantine and they're having a time off, and you just decided, I'm going to start putting together a solo record for this. Like,
yeah, well, right, like the week of lockdown, like this actual, you know, maybe last week, last year or whatever, you know, like the second to last week of March, I was going to make a solo record with Bill Hudgens and Jeff Fields in Illinois. Bill's in Seashine. They're really, really wonderful guys. They have, they do the 3-Minute Record podcast with Scott and Bart. But they're also like my weird out of town friends that, I'll go to Nashville to see the Hold Steady and they're there and we hang out. I'll go to Chicago to see Drive By Truckers or something and they're there and we hang out. It's just like, we run into each other.
Yeah.
And I'm fans of like everything they do, and you know, they dig the Wilderness stuff. So we're going to do this. Like, I was working on this record about like my life as a teenager in my early 20s, like kind of like an autobiography. And I was actually, I'm like writing a book to go with it. So this still needs to happen, but obviously it was like, well, shit, I guess we're not recording this week. So that stunk to not be able to start working on that. But it was like, well, I guess I'm not doing that project. So, you know, and then I was just, around that time, I like got into meditating and was reading Ram Dass and got really into listening to Jiddu Krishnamurti's talks. And I've always really been interested in science. I have the Carl Sagan tattoo and like hard science and the Midnight Gospel program on Netflix came out, which is Duncan Trussell's podcast put to animation done by, oh man, the guy who does Adventure Time. I always forget his name, but he's a brilliant guy. Anyway, all these things just kind of culminated. So I'm playing with like synthesizers and like some weird sounds, and Raised by Wolves, this brilliant Ridley Scott show on HBO, had just come out, and it was just like everything just fell into place. And I was thinking about where spirituality and hard science meet, and was kind of also working on the soundtrack to that as well in my free time, and then decided, well, I need to put all these things that I'm thinking about together in this record.
Yeah.
And this would be the perfect execution, would be, you know, electronic, mostly electronically and synth.
Right. That's what I found interesting. Again, like I didn't know what to really expect from a Dan Johanning solo EP, you know, like, mm-hmm. but everything I know from you so far is guitar based, you know, rocker stuff for the most part, you know, like that. So this was a pretty big turn to see your more of a synth, electronic kind of sounds and stuff coming through. So, but it was still some very good songwriting. I like,
well, thank you.
Especially Spring caught my attention. You know, I do love Bobby Stevens and stuff, but it was interesting hearing you singing with a female on a song.
Human beings are never whole. They're fragmented. They're contradictory. They're torn apart by various desires.
I'm alive, whatever that means. For a time, whatever.
My boys, no one.
So what would you like to add around spring? This is one of my particular favorites from this record.
So spring, obviously, so the record is sort of about life from the perspective of a realized speck of dust, like whatever I am, whoever I am. The record is kind of me asking some questions and, you know, maybe searching for some answers or that I could find through making this. But spring, the first track is birth. So it's birth, spring, summer, fall, winter, death, which is a pretty bare bones way of illustrating life. There's Ouroboros on the cover. Time is cyclical, you know, maybe not a circle, but in ellipses. So you can start the record, and if you just put it on repeat, it would sound like it never stopped. All the piece, it's one piece of music that also folds right back into itself and will restart. So it goes that far into like the cyclical nature of life, seasons, the birth and death of stars. Spring is the track, obviously, that's like emergence. You know, we're born, whether literally born from a mother or this universe, this earth is born, and it's in the spring phase. So everything is new. Everything is vibrant and full of life and explorative. And so that's kind of where the spring track comes from. And the outro is essentially Mother Nature and myself both saying, born of no one, life's vibrations converge on the wind of my breath, which is just sort of, you know, you emerge into this world, or you emerge from this world, not into this world. You emerge from this world that Mother Nature created. And she's just essentially saying at the end who she is and how she did it. The birth track is all inhaling, like recorded myself inhaling and manipulated it, and there's some fire and birds, all these things that you would maybe picture if when life on Earth started. And then the death track is the exhale. So it's also a... So there's a lot of Jenny's character, if you will, of Mother Nature talking about her breath. Even in fall, the piece, the chorus is in Spanish, but it's about life converging on her breath and her being the wind or the catalyst that started all of this, if you will, you know.
Yeah, man.
So that's where spring came from. And there's clips of Jiddu Krishnamurti in there talking about human beings being torn and divided. And then later, before the outro, he's talking about how society has created this insanely stressful and painful way that we all live every day, full of fear, full of anxiety, and full of stress. And it's our responsibility to do something about it. So there's a lot of like Alan Watts in the record too, and emergence. So spring is kind of like, it's everything. It is the birth of our species, the birth of ourselves, the birth of our minds, but also the birth of our sentient nature when the first time somebody woke up and said, I am me. There's somebody in here that's me. Which is kind of a far out thing to think about. You know, the first human or Cro-Magnon person, whatever, whoever it was that thought to themselves, created something from thought, created themselves, created the I. That's kind of all of, there's a lot of levels to all of it, but that's sort of where, that's spring, is all of those things. And it can be whatever you want as well, whatever spring is for you, whatever genesis is for you, whatever the catalyst of all of this, whatever that is, that's the spring.
Yep. Well, this is all now available digitally wherever you get your music at, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's on Bandcamp if you want to go buy it. It's on iTunes. You know, Bandcamp is the best way to listen or buy, but it's on iTunes, Amazon, Tidal, Spotify. It's on all the things.
And Bandcamp's been still doing all those like First Fridays and stuff, continuing to do that. So that's always a big help for sure to support independent artists. And
yes.
So yeah, check it out. Be sure to download that and send Dan a couple bucks and support this project because it's cool, man. Like like I said, there was in spring. There was a especially like kind of the hook in there where standing on the shoulders of giants and
Isaac Newton.
Yeah, and then what?
In the shadows of our ancestors.
Yeah, So
Carl Sagan.
Yeah. So it's cool to hear those lines coming through in the songwriting and stuff in there. And
yeah, those are things that have inspired me my whole life. Those quotes, those people, scientists have always been my heroes. Like, I wanted to be an astronomer when I was a little kid, and it turns out I became a rock and roller, which is...
you know, like you do.
Yeah, two sides of the same coin, right? But I've always just been fascinated with it, and especially the humility and the dedication to like humanity and empathy and compassion that it seems to me that astrophysicists and cosmologists and astronomers have. They look at the absolute giantness and the absolute smallness of the universe that we exist in. And it brings a lot of humility to who and what we are. And the fact that, you know, Sagan said, you know, we are star stuff. We're made of star stuff. We're made of exploded stars. That's pretty intense when you really, really think about it.
We just went to the Science Center Sunday and went to the planetarium and sat and watched a show called Live Sky Tonight or something, and then they kind of talking about some of the different stars and just, you know, it was some of it was a little long, but some of it was fascinating, and it was just this guy, you know, showing us some of the different constellations and different things and some whatever. But there was some of the stuff I thought was like crazy was that they showed like early sketches of like our moon. And that people used on, like, you know, whatever, either through naked eye or through their version of a telescope and stuff. And those sketches still exactly look like what we look at today. And it's like, it's so crazy to think, like, you know, that hasn't changed. And
yeah,
we all still look at that same moon hundreds and hundreds of years later and stuff. And
yeah, and we're still fascinated by it.
Right.
You know? And we still, in some ways, find some sacredness and some connection with the moon. Because it does move the tides on Earth. And when it's full, it provides light to the dark side of the Earth, you know? But it's just interesting that... that, like you said, that we're still so fascinated with little things that have been there forever. And
yeah, it was cool though. I enjoyed it. Like, I've never really got too far into it. Like, I mean, I think it's beautiful and everything else, but like, I just never really like took the time to learn much about it, except for through a science book in high school, you know, whatever, biology class or something or whatever it was. And, you know, a little bit that they talk about it, but, so it was interesting to like kind of sit and listen to them talk for 45 minutes, an hour or whatever going on and learn quite a bit of, you know, it was interesting for sure. So, but yeah, so growing up, that's kind of what you wanted to do, like be a scientist kind of thing? You wanted to do something along
Yeah, I was really interested in science, like, and, well, and continued to be. Like, I wanted to be an astronomer.
Right.
You know, whatever. And then at 13, like, rock and roll changed my life, which is fine. But, I mean, it's still always been something I'm fascinated with. Right. And I, you know, when it comes to, like, this record, it's like all these things that I grew up thinking about and these feelings that I had about my relationship to the cosmos, my relationship to the earth, and my relationship to other human beings and animals and plants and everything. As I started getting into like some different spirituality things, like, I mean, it's odd how Dr. Sagan actually rides the line of, he talks about phenomena a lot. Like, Ram Dass talks about phenomena a lot. They're not the same people, but they're, so that the record is kind of where these things meet, where these ancient, we'll say like religions, like these pagan rituals and indigenous peoples of America, like their religions and their ceremonies were just about like respecting and loving nature, being grateful for the sun, being grateful for the moon, using the moon as a calendar, knowing when to plant crops, when to harvest crops, knowing when different animals that they hunt move, and taking like hard science and moving those things together, because they really were more in tune with, I don't want to say more in tune with nature, because we are nature, but more in tune with themselves as beings of nature. There wasn't all the static that we have now. So it's easy to get lost in, you know, TV or sports or rock and roll music at your fingertips or whatever it may be, you know, apps or websites or whatever. But, I just wanted to kind of find the place for me where those two things intersected, spirituality and not religious, not like an organized religion spirituality, but actual, you know, actual realization of what you are and why we are here sort of thing, I guess.
Yeah. You said meditation was a big part of this for you also?
Yeah, around the beginning of quarantine, I started meditating, and it was really great. It's really helped me calm down a lot. I've had depression issues since I was like, you know, 2 years old, which I had a really revealing conversation with my mom not too long ago about. I told her, like, I don't think I've ever really felt happy ever in my life. That's not to say that I haven't had happy moments, but just my general demeanor. I've struggled with depression, and she had told me, like, when you were really young, it was pretty bad. So meditation, you know, and I find myself, like, my depression sometimes manifests itself in frustration and, like, bitterness, you know, that's not always on the surface. It's inside, and I just keep it, and it's not good for you. So I was just trying to, like, okay, I have all this time now. I don't have to worry about going to work or being in traffic, all these things that stress you out and frustrate you. So I started meditating, and I love it. I also started floating. My wife, Melissa, works, she's a massage therapist by trade, but she also works part-time at Float STL, and I started floating in the sensory deprivation tanks, which is also really wonderful. And I don't want to say that I've learned how to meditate, because you shouldn't, you know, if you listen to Jiddu Krishnamurti, it's not about structure. Meditation shouldn't be about practicing the same thing over and over and getting everything out of your mind. It's about watching your thoughts, watching your feelings, being present. And we can talk about being present in a second. But watching your feelings and watching your thoughts, which if you really think about it, like when you're frustrated and watching that frustration, being okay with being frustrated, saying I'm frustrated, but or I'm angry, and just being with it, not forcing it away, not smashing it down, and you learn to like live with these things, your fear, your anxiety, your stress. So meditation was wonderful for has been wonderful for those type of things, and being aware of your emotions, being aware of your feelings, me in particular, like really watching these things has helped me calm down and not be so hard on myself, you know. And a lot of that comes out in the record, is exploring who we are and why we are here, and trying to just be with it instead of fight against it.
Yeah. I've never been down. I see the ads and things with the for Float, but I haven't been down there yet. But I do think it'd be interesting. It just seems super relaxing, and like obviously, like that's the whole idea. But I was like,
yeah, it's really an amazing experience.
Yeah, I'll have to go down there and check it out sometime. But yeah, I don't know. I never really got into meditation either. Like, I know I listen to a lot of Howard Stern, and he practices transcendental meditation, and he talks a lot about it and how it's done wonders for his life and everything else. And but yeah, I don't know. I think I forget. But anyway, I think it'd probably be good for me. Like you're saying, I don't necessarily like I have my own depression issues and just but for me I found, which was taken away, but live music is my escape. That's usually where I would go and, you know, become grounded and enjoy the show, surrounded by all my friends, and just be able to escape all the daily, you know, stuff. I'll be able to just be free and for an hour and a half there at the show or whatever. So
it's a cathartic experience, isn't it?
For sure. Yeah.
Playing and watching, playing for me, and the normally why I'm in loud, powerful rock and roll bands is because I need that boiling pit that's inside you to like foam out and come out in a healthy and enjoyable manner. But being there, I'm almost more of a fan of watching music than I am of playing. Bobby Stevens and I had this talk about whatever, you know, if you could only see live music or play shows again, what would you do? And it was like, well, see shows. Playing shows is amazing. It's the most wonderful thing ever, but I guess it's not better than, you know, it's not the one most wonderful thing. It's the second most wonderful thing ever.
Well, I think probably at the core of it, you're still a fan. You're still, you know, you were a fan first before a musician, I'm sure, right? Like, you know, like I said, that 13-year-old discovering rock and roll and stuff, like, you know, so.
Well, I discovered rock and roll the moment I was born, because I have a brother that's right. 8 years older than me. Yeah. But I think I always knew. I mean, I used to have this old blanket that my grandma knit, that maybe my great aunt Monner knit it for me, and I'd tie that son of a bitch around my neck and like play a tennis racket and jump around, and it was destiny to do it. You know, of course, it was what it always made me feel accepted, and maybe that's kind of what you're saying. You know, is, you know, you walk into this space and it's like, there's only love in this space. Everybody here is here for the same reason, and that's to have a good time and like enjoy some rock and roll, or I call all music rock and roll. So, you know, whether it's country, blues, funk, whatever, rock and roll, punk, hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something magical that happens, you know, in that space, where you're just surrounded by like-minded people, and everybody's there to have a good time, and everybody, you know, just everybody's gets into the involved in the music and everything, and it's just like, yeah, sure, there's night somebody messes it up for everybody, but for the most part, majority of the time, it's always a good time. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I love. I can't wait to get back, like especially like on a Broadway Oyster Bar patio and getting sweaty and summer night and with a bunch of my friends and just having a good time down there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it too.
But, yeah. Well, let's play another one. You kind of gave us a brief overall. I was talking about some of these different tracks, but I wanted to also highlight a track, Fall. And again, this so it's obviously, like I said, it's a concept record. So, which I thought was cool too, like to hear like it's one fluid piece, like from start to finish. And but Fall, it stood out to me, especially the woman singing on there towards the end. And it's like more, especially towards the end of the track, and more kind of like a club kind of, definitely a lot more dance groove to it. And so this was interesting to hear from you.
So obviously, yeah, like we didn't talk about summer, but you know, the spring, you have your birth, spring is the realization, summer is the potential. Fall is the time, you know, it's the harvest time. So when the song breaks up into like two pieces, essentially, there's essentially the, I don't want to say like, well, the prayer portion or the Thanksgiving portion. And then Melissa has her spoken word piece in there. And this is, you know, I have some spoken word stuff in there that, and then Melissa gives her piece and then the dance party ensues. So it's essentially the Harvest Moon festival. You know, it's like, all right, well, we just harvested all the crops and winter is coming. It's going to be brutal. This is our last moment to party and rejoice. Yeah, it's time to rage. And it definitely has like a 90s house vibe. And I told Jenny, like, go 90s R&B all over it. Just make it like a very feminine, powerful.
Thunder spirits have gone to rest.
you know, and the whole record is hopefully me getting in touch with my feminine side. I spoke to my shaman who lives in Spain, Mercedes, who was changed Melissa and I's life when we were over there. While I was like, right as I was beginning to make the record, and she said, I can feel you getting in touch with your feminine side. Is it hard? And I think I said, I don't know. No. And through the computer, she gave me a look and I was like, yes, it's difficult opening your heart, and it hurts when you open your heart. So that's kind of fall is just the celebration of it's being grateful. And it's the celebration before winter. And as it relates to your life, you know, I guess that's a time of, like, I guess Carl Jung said, you know, you're not really alive till you're like 40, or you really don't get it till you're 40. You know, you're 1 to 10, you're just a kid. 10 to 20, you're full of craziness, and a teenager. 20 to 30, you're just like figuring out how to do life. 30 to 40, you're getting better at it. 40 is like the year that you're like, okay, so if 40 is, I'm 41, like if this is the fall of my life, it's like I've really learned to just enjoy. I don't, you know, it sounds cliche to say the little things, but like having coffee with my wife in the morning is, on my days off, is amazing. Last year, watching the migratory birds come in and not being disturbed by a schedule of work or this or that, watching all the trees flower and bud and then the leaves come out, I feel like this is the part of your life where you really, really enjoy that. Or going to see live music and not taking it for granted, you know, not taking, you know, you're such a good supporter of the local scene. You don't take for granted the thousands of musicians that are around you that are pouring their hearts out every night. Some of us just to a handful of people, sometimes more, but doesn't matter. You have to do it. You know, it's so important to do it and to be a part of it, you know? So yeah. Fall is kind of that track, that big celebration before this transition into the final stages of life.
You said like 90s R&B with some of her vocals. I got my mind went to, like, except for obviously a lot more dancey, but like Pink Floyd's Great Gig in the Sky. Like,
all right,
the way, especially like there's not really like words. It's more just for like vocal runs.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's what kind of like triggered that memory of that song and stuff. The way, which is, like it's good on the record, obviously, but like. Some of my favorite memories are watching El Monstero do it at the pageant, and like, and the three ladies come up front and they just go to town on that song, and it's like, it's so cool, man. Like, in the just powerhouse vocals and stuff. So
yeah, well, you're the second person that told me that they have gotten like Pink Floyd vibes from it,
but it's just those vocals. I mean, because you just like, you don't hear a lot of that, and like obviously there's not a ton of tracks where just vocal runs like that, not mm-hmm. not necessarily saying lyrics over anything, you know. So but obviously it's a dance, much more of a dance groove underneath it.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah, but it's just, and sometimes you don't need words to convey sure. your joy or your passion or right. whatever it is that
that's what it's so beautiful about that moment, like especially like again El Monstero doing it. It's like, it's moving and they don't say a single thing. Like, it's just, they're just,
yeah.
There's so much emotion coming out, and all they're doing is making these noises and stuff, you know, they're singing, but like, it's just, so.
But it's guttural from diaphragm, and you can just feel it.
Sure.
You know, that type of singing, you know, you listen to whale sounds, or if you listen to bird singing, of course, you don't understand what they're saying, but it just sounds beautiful.
Sure. Yeah, man. But yeah, I dig it, man. I like, this was, and again, it was just fun to, like, I talk about it a lot, how like you kind of get to knowing people and you kind of get to seeing them like in a certain light, you know. It's like, and of course, like I said, I've known you through the wilderness and the disappeared and stuff, and like, so it was cool to hear something totally different come from you, and still I really enjoyed it. And so it was just never didn't know what to expect, man, but this was cool.
Yeah, I've been, you know, it was really awesome to make, and it's been something that I've been wanting to make since I was a teenager. I've always been, since I was a teenager, like I've loved Bjork and Front 242 and Frontline Assembly, Ministry, Skinny Puppy, Ministry and Skinny Puppy. I loved when I was in high school. And I know this isn't like super hard industrial, but just what they did brilliantly was layer all these tracks and layer all these sounds to build these huge, beautiful, swooping songs. And that's what I was trying to do here. And Gabe was incredibly patient and awesome, as it was like, all right, there's another synthesizer that needs to go over that. All right, now what? More synth. There's another one that needs to go. Now another one. Now let's do one an octave higher, and let's do one here, and then let's put a run over it. And there's going to be bass, and there's going to be guitar.
How many tracks do you think you guys put on these?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, each track probably has, each song probably has 15 or so tracks, yeah, of instruments, and then another 4 or 5 of vocals. The winter, the descending, the crossing over point in winter, the end of that song is crossing from life to death. The da da da, there's like probably 17 vocal tracks on that. We were just, Jenny, yeah, and I were building a choir. So
yeah. Is this something you ever imagine taking this to a stage and performing live?
I didn't think so when I started the project. Like when I started this, I didn't really think I was gonna. I just wanted to make something fun and like, oh, I'll use a couple synths and write these tunes, and then it just started morphing into this like what it became, and it was like, oh, this is way more important, and this really needs to be just a whole piece of art that I need to make. This isn't like, I'm not going to go just dick around. Like, I really need to make this, want to get this off my chest. But I suppose if, you know, after Disappeared and Wilderness have our record release shows from last year, some point, I would like to, and I would like to incorporate video and lights and like make it like a whole,
sure,
crazy piece, and I would love to. There's definitely going to be more. I'm going to make more EPs like this. It'll be a trilogy. So,
yeah,
there'll definitely be more of this music to come.
Yeah, and what you told me, but I was, how do you say that again?
Iota.
Iota.
Iodia.
And you said this is. What was the significance of choosing this name to represent this
collection? Well, it comes from the Sanskrit. It's a Sanskrit word that essentially, when converted to English, means invincible. Like I said, you know, I was reading all these different books, and I started reading the Ramayana, and that's the city in India that Rams goes to. And when they explained what it was, I was kind of like, that's a great, it's like this ancient, one of the oldest languages on the planet, and it's describing, and it means invincible, and I'm sort of talking about the universe when I mean invincible. It's everything and it's nothing at the same time. It's unbreakable. You can't beat it. You can't beat nature, you're a part of it. You can't, there's only so much manipulation that humans can do to nature, but they can't beat it. So it's sort of that invincible nature of, don't mess with Mother Nature.
Yeah, so as far as like that applying towards, you're saying multiple EPs, coming through possibly. Is it going to continue the same trend of like being concept albums and kind of thing, or is it, you think it'll just be random collection after that of songs?
No, I think it will all be one full piece when it's done. The next, and I want to continue, like, this is just a conversation. This record is a conversation about existence and life and what it means and what it could mean. But I want to keep going deeper into some of these questions. So the next record tentatively now will be based on more like the nature-based religions, like paganism and things like that, where the plants and the rocks and the trees and the stars and moon are all involved with us, and how we used to go about our daily lives. And that doesn't mean like, put this crystal in your pocket and it gives you a certain type of energy. It's more of like communing with nature, which you are a part of. That's a concept that I've been thinking about a lot lately, is when people are like, I want to get out in nature. And it's like, well, everything is nature. You are a part of nature. Everything in this universe is naturally occurring. And if it's not, it's manipulated by something in nature that's naturally occurring.
Right.
So I'm not arguing that a city is a forest, but what I am arguing is that a city is pieces of nature manipulated by beings of nature, us. So I kind of want to get more into those concepts on either side, and maybe that's the final EP will be this hyper technology, and when it finally folds over on us, because I am really interested in like AI and things like that. I don't necessarily think that AI is a good thing, because evolution works the way that it works. It works on mistakes, and for some reason, AI will become sentient and be able to program itself and learn like we learn. And I don't know if they'll kill us all or it'll be an enslaving thing, but we will no longer be, as we consider ourselves, a dominant species, a dominant, you know, it could be trouble. It could be it could be pretty bad.
Talking about nature though, I was like wondering, like, you know, obviously, through all this messages that you've been talking about and stuff, like, is there a certain area or spot that you find that you're most at peace? Like, is it mountains or beach or anything like that? You said you went to visit Spain, right? You said?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, is there a certain part of the world or anything that you've got to experience so far that you find is most peaceful or most inspiring for you?
I didn't grow up around mountains and was never able to go there, just because we didn't, you know, I grew up poor and we never went on vacations or anything. So as I was like in my late teens and stuff, I was in touring bands and we would drive around. That's how I saw most things. But, as I hit my like 30s, I really wanted to like go on top of mountains. I was like, I want to go to a mountain and go to the top and see and just like look over just that feeling of being that high and looking out over all of it and realizing how small you are and whatever. So mountains definitely are, I don't even know if I would say like at peace, because it can be, you know, they're dangerous places.
Sure.
They're dangerous places, but they're the most natural and untouched places. And it's interesting when people say like, oh, that's, you're out in the wild, it's the wilderness. And it's like, well, that's really the tame. It's not wild. It's the normal. It's what everything was before we decided that we are us, We gave ourselves names, created societies, and then started drawing lines in the sand and making countries and empires and all these things. That's what's causing us chaos and confusion and frustration, is the organization that we have created for ourselves. When you go into untouched natural spots, to me, that's the tame, you know? So it could be, you know, Melissa and I went hiking this morning at Don Robinson, and we were just playing around in like a box canyon. I like all of it. Like, I love the mountains, and I love getting into the glacial regions of mountains. I love the pine forests on the way up. I love the way, like, walking on, like, under pine trees and that, like, soft dirt and the pines. I'm not like a beach, like, I don't want to sit on a beach and, like, rip beers because, like, I just get bored. I understand why people like that. I can't turn off that much. So, like, for me, hiking and moving and the journey, you know, everybody says, like, the journey is part of getting there. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey, which is sort of true. I think Mount Rainier is one of the most special places I've been. Unbelievably beautiful. But there's, you know, even in southern Missouri, the Current River, and kayaking or canoeing along and just seeing how beautiful. And you see some mink or river otters or kingfishers flying around. And that's presence, you know, that's when you're in presence. When someone like Ram Dass or some yogi talks about being here now, it's not about thinking about the past. It's not about worrying about what's going to happen in the future or something you did 10 years ago. It's about just existing in that moment and realizing that you're alive and awake and you're part of it, and trying to stay with that and not, oh man, what am I going to do in 2 weeks when this happens? What am I going to do? You know, that fear, that abstraction that happens, that's created by thought, by thinking too much, you know. What if there was no thought?
Right.
So.
Yeah. I think that's part of, like, why music has always been in, like, live music, especially, like, because, like, that is when I can quit thinking for, you know, it's like you can block out all the other things, mm-hmm. whatever's going on, whatever the other thoughts. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to that, just to shut all that off for a little bit and stuff. You know, I feel like sometimes, I mean, it's also like part of me, like, even like doing this show and, working all the time, I think it just kind of helps keeps me active, you know, the mind going and stuff, like keeping focused on things. Cause I feel like if I were just like alone and sitting there with my thoughts, it might not be the best place, you know. It's like, so having all these things, essentially distractions, it's probably not, if describing all this is probably not the most healthiest way to do this, but it's been working, you know. But like keeps me focused on different things, more positive things and stuff, and not you know, not letting some of the more negative thoughts and things come up. So
yeah, that's healthy though to,
sure,
I mean, to put yourself in places where you feel safe, right, and you feel comfortable. And
yeah, I find that I'm most happy around live music, so that's where I try to be at the most, you know. And I think that's anybody should be, you know, whatever it is that makes you happy, that's what you should try to do the most of. And so, but this is the bigger part of, for me, like just trying to stop thinking so much.
Yeah.
So,
and when you're around people, you know, you pick up other people's energy. Like if you worked with somebody that was always in a bad mood, or, you know,
I do
this, you know, when you're around them, you yeah. feel that, you're like, oh boy, yeah. this is going to be rough. You pick up that energy and it changes you. And when you go to shows and they're, the band is playing, and you can just, they're sweating and they're killing it. Or even if they're not, if it's just folk music, but it's really, they're expressing a piece of art to you. They're communicating with you in different ways. You know, like you were saying before, like it wasn't even lyrics. It's just vocal runs, and you're still being communicated with, and you pick up the energy of people around you. And when it's all that love and that positive energy, that's, to me, is the true energy of the universe, is the true energy of nature, is love. And we've all heard the phrase, God is love, you know, and I don't think Christians or any of those type of folks ever really vibe on what that means. God's not a white man with a beard throwing thunderbolts in the sky. God is love, and love is everything. And when you're in those rooms with those people, and you can feel it, you know, and that's why people pack clubs to dance together. And whether you like dance music or not, doesn't matter. Other people do. It makes them feel happy. True. And they want to be sweaty and up next to each other. You know, a bunch of angry, young, suburban white men in a room playing super hardcore punk rock and screaming about how they hate the government and slamming into each other and getting bloody and then ripping beers all night afterwards, you know. That's also... I don't know how healthy that is, but but you are conveying something. Sure. You know, you're receiving when you go into those spaces. You're receiving art, you're receiving love, and those are from people's energy, and those are the same thing. You know, that when you hear that guitar chord that you don't know what it is, but you love it so much,
right?
That G chord that kicks off a Tom Petty song or something, and you're hell like, yeah. Fuck yeah, and you just immediately feel it, you know.
Yep. It
makes you want to sing along in the car or at the show or high five someone, and you know, it gives you what you need, and that's love.
Yeah,
that's what everybody needs.
I do love Tom Petty. I've been going around asking some questions, and this is a new one. I listened to a lot of Howard Stern. I enjoy his program. So he had Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters on, and they talked about, Dave was talking about going to Paul McCartney's house and hanging out, and Taylor Swift was there, and they were jamming and all this. I'm just like, man, what a party. That would have been a cool night to be hanging out. And they said they just had pizza or something, whatever it was, but anyway, it got me thinking, like, what would be a dream dinner for Dan Johanning? Like, who would, past or present, who is maybe like three guests that you would like to invite over to?
Living or dead?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Only three? I think Erykah Badu would be at the top of that list. Björk would be at the top of that list. You know, I mean, you know how much I love Bruce Springsteen, but, boy, he's got plenty. I would love to have a beer with him and tell him how much he's affected my life and how much I love him, but I don't know what I could learn from him that I haven't learned already. And I feel like someone like Erykah Badu, she's such a, like, just an incredible, vibrant being that she would be making you laugh and cry and changing you. And like just being in her presence. Björk, I think, is the same way. I think those two people are maybe some of the most brilliant, or just they have their hearts open the widest. I mean, the music that Björk makes is light years ahead of where we're at, you know? And I think Erykah Badu is kind of like that too.
I was just thinking about Erykah the other day. Singing that song they did from Blues Brothers 2000. She's in there, you know, as like coast the Battle of the Bands with the Louisiana Gator Boys or whatever. Like,
all right. I haven't seen the 2000 one. Oh,
well, it's not a great movie by any means.
The original is one of my favorites.
For sure. Yeah, it's classic. 2000. Is not a great movie, but the songs are the music is incredible.
Yeah, like, worth a watch.
I mean, and so there's a part where she Blues Brothers are entered in a battle of the bands, and they go down to Erykah Badu's place, and she, whatever, I forget her name, Madam some, whatever, but she has this like this place down in, like the Louisiana swamps, and it's all, and then like so they're in this like battle of the bands against like just like every all star players in that band, and like and so it's a great sequence in the movie and stuff, but there's some great songs and that come out of that, and so there's a and she does a couple song, at least one song, I think she's kind of part of another a compilation of characters and stuff, but anyway, check it out. It's worth yeah. a watch if you find it on Netflix or whatever, something like that.
Yeah, and, we'll have to look at that.
But it's definitely not doesn't hold up compared to the original. But
sure.
But yeah, she was there. Was like it's just some catchy songs though for sure. And just
yeah, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, but yeah,
love her.
Oh yeah, I and I'll send you a link. There's a show I really love called The 500 with Josh Adam Myers that I've been talking a lot about too. Josh hosts this The 500 where they go through the Rolling Stones 500 greatest albums of all time. And each week he has a different comedian or somebody that's, you know, involved in sometimes in the record, sometimes that record, sometimes just a fan of music and stuff and whatever. But one of my favorites, he had Billy Gibbons and talked about Eliminator, which nice. Was which was super cool. I'm like, yeah. man, I would just love to hang. Reverend. I would love to hang out with Billy for an hour and just talk but he just said they're into 300s now, and Bjork's record came up on there, and
all right.
So it's I forget now who he had as like Kurt Bromholder or something like, but he's a comedian. But so sometimes it's sometimes that, but like he has some like really interesting people, and like sometimes like. They're just like super fans of that record. So it's interesting to hear another super fan talk about the music and how it affected them. Cause he like interviews the guest through the record, so, along with talking about some of the behind the scenes and things like, so it's really a cool approach to an interview and stuff. And I like it a lot. So check that out.
I'll have to check that out.
Well, he was kind of mad because they changed it. Like, they just put out a new updated version of the 500. So he was like, start over, you know, he's
it'll
like,
always change.
Yeah. So he's like, but so it's sticking to the 2012 version of the list and going through that. But he makes jokes like, you know, that they only do one a week. So it's going to be, until like, whatever, 2029 or 27 or whatever it is, something like
you
that.
You can just have episodes and pick up all the other ones that get, you know, that's season two.
Right. Yep. But yeah, he's doing this for the next several years still. But it's a great show, man. Check it out. Especially, like I said, you're a fan of music, and I'm sure.
I will. I'll have to listen to that Bjork episode.
Yeah. But yeah, man. So that would be a fun dinner for sure, getting to hang with those two.
Yeah. I'm not real sure they'd want to hang out with me. I would say like Miles Davis would probably be the other person, or Ray Charles or Louis Armstrong, but I don't think any of those people would want to. Hey, none of those folks. If the condition is that, like, yes, they're here to talk about process or whatever, Miles would be like, "Fuck you, man! Not telling you shit."
Well, speaking of process, so this was obviously this record very different, like I said, we talked about, but like, how do you go, like, typically I think a lot of your stuff probably started with just you and acoustic guitar, right? You're being a songwriter. Is that a lot, like you said, did you just start with that synthesizers and start playing around till you started building like the track bed and stuff to where you felt?
Yeah. A lot of them started with, synth. Spring started with a guitar. But I, you know, most of it started with synth, and it would just be like, I'd write a piece or two and kind of record it and be like, okay, this could be like a verse, this could be a chorus, and let me work on some other stuff. And, then I would come into the studio and we would just like play it into the computer and sort of built it from there. Like, all right, cool. Well, let me play this a couple times and we'll make this the verse. This is the piece going into the chorus, coming out of the chorus. And then it would be layer on top of that, layer on top of that, then bass, then guitar. And then it might be like, all right, well, I think I need one more thing. So it really was a long process of figuring out what I wanted it to sound like. Sure. And it sort of kind of came together as we were doing it as well. So we'd get a couple pieces down and get the track running. And I would kind of mess around over it. And like I said, Gabe was really patient with like figuring out, oh, it needs this and it needs this. And same thing with vocals. Like we'll do one take like this, one take like this. This needs to be under there. This piece needs to be here. So it was just like a lot of arranging,
yeah,
you know, and building.
And I think it's cool too. Like again, a guy like yourself who's been making music for many years to challenge yourself to try something new. You know, not being afraid to step out of the box and do something completely different.
So, never afraid. Right. I mean, I've done solo acoustic stuff, punk rock, hardcore, rock and roll, played in, you know, the Highway Companion, which was sort of a country band. I had Jungle Fire, which is like a soul funk band. You know, if you're not on the planet for a very long time, you're not in your meat bag. You know, the light isn't inside the bag for that long. So, I want to do, you know, I'll continue. I really, really enjoyed this, and I'm glad that the stars align the way that they did, because I've always wanted to do something like this, and it always seemed like something else was going on. Like, Disappear's got to make a record, mm-hmm. and which Disappear's working on new music, Wilderness is working on new music, and I'm ready to jump back into making the next piece of this.
Which Meatbag should be the next
Meatbag.
That should be the next EP title. So
I was actually been thinking about the Kurt Vonnegut book, Cat's Cradle, a lot, and the character in the book, the narrator, you know, his dad was this mad scientist and never really spoke to him or whatever, except for one day he comes over and he's making Cat's Cradle and he's like, do you see it? Do you see it? Do you see the cat? Do you see the cradle? And I think that's an incredible concept of like, do you see the cat? Do you see the cradle? What is it? It could be everything and it can be nothing. And sort of exploring the idea of the cat's cradle. And
all right. You said New Wilderness on the way, which if you don't have that record, the last one you guys just put out, which I think that was our last appearance on the show. We did a Zoom episode with you and Bobby and talking about the
year ago,
talking about the record coming out. And but that record rips for sure. And
thank you.
It still gets heavy rotation on my playlist. So
and the last song on that record, The Lioness and the Cartographer, is the catalyst of this record. So that song is about, I am the cartographer, Mother Nature is the lioness, and it's just about me being a nomad, being a wanderer, which that Carl Sagan quote happens before winter in this record, about we're nomads, we're wanderers. So that's sort of where that started.
What's that line in the EP too that caught my attention? Feed yourself and feed your community.
Yeah, that's Melissa wrote that.
Yeah, which I thought was beautiful. It was just like there's more to it, but that just that sentiment right there, like, you know, just like more people should have a similar philosophy, like to be involved in their community and feed your community.
And be rooted, you know, be rooted. I don't want to speak for Melissa, but like being rooted with your people and understanding that every single human being on earth, every animal on earth, every fish, microorganism, virus, we all exist in this one little space. We're one ecosystem. that has trillions of minor ecosystems within it. But when you realize that you're chemically, atomically, and biologically connected to everything and everyone, Summer kind of goes through those things, the RNA sequences and how RNA builds DNA, lessons learned through, you know, chemistry coded in DNA, lessons learned through time. That's the RNA working on itself until it becomes DNA for whatever plant or animal. And in that part, the Summer kind of has the main concept of the record is this, where are we going? And it's like, we come from the stars. The exploded stars created these molecules and they landed at different places, Earth, evolution, here we are. And now that we're awake, alive, and realize what's happening, we start building our chariots to get back to the stars. So that's where we came from, and that's somehow instinctually, I think, this is, you know, what I was thinking about when I was making this, was that that's our natural instinct, is to go back out into space and to go back to the furnace of creation, Mother, the stars, the red giants that created us.
Yeah.
So, a lot of heavy stuff,
yeah,
in the record.
Sure. Yeah,
a lot of thought, a lot of introspection and a lot of thought really went into making this record.
Yeah, man. Find this EP. Again, just under Dan Johanning, and you can find it wherever you're getting your digital music at. Please support this project through Bandcamp, and it's a great way to continue to support independent artists through there. So do that. It's been an interesting chat for sure. Been very insightful. I'm glad you're kind of helping share some of this knowledge with me, because I don't know a lot of this, but it's interesting to think about and talk about. And
yeah, well, thanks for having me. I love talking to you.
Yeah, man. I'm glad we did this, and hopefully it's not another year before we do another one. But
It won't be Jack.
Get out and again grab this EP. But thank you, Dan. Appreciate you doing this, buddy.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Love you, pal.
Love you, man. Bye, everybody.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.